The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, good evening, everyone. This is End Time Headlines, and tonight I want to share with you a special devotional word for this Wednesday evening. It is February 12th, and it is approximately 6:40 p.m. Eastern, at least at the time that we are broadcasting this. And again, we're taking a break from our usual typical podcast in which we go over some of the headlines that are trending for the day. And usually on Wednesdays, we do a devotional word and we get into a time of prayer. So tonight, that's what we're going to do tonight. I want to talk about briefly for a few minutes, and then we're going to pray over some folks here. First of all, before we do that, I want to welcome you to the broadcast. If this is your first time joining us, again, I'm Ricky Scapero, the founder, the voice, and the pastor of End Time Headlines. If you're watching by Facebook Live, we welcome you to the broadcast. If this is your first time joining us, welcome. Please let us know in the comments section below. If this is your first time, let us know where you're joining us from, and we'd like to admonish that as well. You guys watching by YouTube, again, thank you, and we appreciate you taking the time to watch this word. I believe you'll be encouraged and blessed by this when you receive this word. And of course, all of our podcasters as well that'll be listening in to the rebroadcast of this, we appreciate you joining us as well. So I believe, here's what I'm going to talk about tonight. I believe we're seeing an intensification of a battle for the believer's mind as we draw closer to the climax of end time events. I believe one of the things that we're going to have to deal with as believers is keeping our mind in check. Now, what am I talking about? When you, as a believer, I couldn't even imagine not having a faith or a foundation in Christ Jesus, how much more difficult it would be to do this. So let's just, for example, let's just talk about an individual that does not have a relationship with God. Think about the things that are going on in the world, things that we're seeing across the globe as far as disasters go and as far as sicknesses and diseases and economic turmoil, the marital problems, family units are falling apart. I mean, things are happening all over in every genre that you could think of, in every category that you could even possibly think of. We're seeing this across the board. And many individuals, I mean, this generation has got one of the highest suicide rates, depression, drug usage, opioid epidemic, and the list goes on. And it's because people are beginning to lose hope. People are losing faith. We've got there's all these polls come out, and different organizations do these group studies, and they do these polls, and they poll people, and they pick people's brains and they ask them questions. And never, at least in my lifetime, I've never seen so many people in a generation that does not identify with any faith, any religious organization. They don't identify to be a Christian. They don't identify to be a Catholic. They don't identify to be a Methodist. They don't identify with any religious association. We have an all-time high of agnostics and atheists and Wiccans and satanic worshipers and people involved in witchcraft, and the list goes on and on. So I couldn't imagine here just speaking from a perspective of not having a relationship with God. Now, again, 20 years ago, I didn't. On June 2nd of 2000, this year will be my 20th anniversary of being born again. So I understand I've been on the other side of the tracks before, and I understand what it's like to walk according to your word says in Ephesians, walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, walking hand in hand with the enemy, serving him, operating under that control, that mindset. The Bible says, your Bible says, the entire world is under the sway or the influence of the wicked one. Now, so again, I could not imagine thank God for his mercy and grace. I could not imagine being on that side of the tracks. But I'm going to tell you something. What I'm seeing across the board is even individuals who have a professed belief in Christ, they have a faith in Christ, they confess to be Christ followers, church members, in the Word, in prayer, even these individuals, many of you guys watching this, listening to this, you love God, you believe in God, you trust God, you're serving God the best you know how, but are you noticing the intensity of the warfare against your mind? We're talking about fear. We're talking about uncertainty. We're talking about oppression. We're talking about vexation, depression, confusion, madness, perplexity. The Bible uses the word or the term, it's a Greek word, perplexity, in the account of Luke chapter 21, when it says one of the signs of the coming of the Lord, it says that there will be perplexity. The waves and the seas roaring with perplexity. The nations of the world will be in confusion, mass hysteria and chaos. And we're seeing this. And this is why when you get, and I'm going to get to our devotional word. If you want Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. That's where I'm going to hang out tonight. And I'm getting there. I'm going to get there in just a second. Paul emphasized to Timothy. Timothy was a young man who was being groomed. And I don't mean that in a sexual way. I know I shouldn't even use that term. It's sad that I can't use that term, but that's not what I meant. But sadly, we live in a fallen world where if you say that, people think it's sexual in nature. He was mentoring him, is probably a better word I should use. Paul was mentoring Timothy, preparing him to be a young pastor. And you can read in the writings of Paul when he wrote to young Timothy, and he said to Timothy, over and over again, he emphasized to Timothy, fear not, don't be anxious, don't fret, don't worry, don't let these things get to you. He says, be an example by word, be an example by conduct, be an example by your actions and your faith and all these things. And then he tells him, he says, look, there's going to become perilous times. Perilous times is coming, Timothy. And he tells us this in one of the letters to Timothy. And he says, in the last days, that we know this, guys, you should know this scripture. Men will be lovers of themselves and not lovers of God, boastful and proud and arrogant. And they will not endure sound doctrine. They'll have itching ears. Oh boy, is that ever being fulfilled before our eyes. He said, men will have a form of godliness, but they'll deny the power thereof. And he tells Timothy, he warns him, and he says, when you see these men, or you see individuals that fit this criteria, Timothy, he said, don't hang out with them. Don't mingle with them. Don't be yoked with them. He said, run. Run from them and abstain from them. Why? Because you will become entangled with them and you will begin to develop the same mindset as them. And then remember, Paul told Timothy, he says, for God has not given us, this is, who's the us here? The church, the ecclesia, not the world. The world is vexed and driven by fear. You know how many actions and consequences are made because of fear, of people being driven by fear and by panic? There was a story today that we reported on Endtime Headlines about a individual in China who believed, he did not have confirmation, but he was so convinced that he had the coronavirus that he did not want to risk spreading it to his family, so he took his own life out of fear and panic. Think about that. This man took his own life because he was driven by a spirit of fear and panic. I believe with all my heart, this is why Paul emphasized to Timothy, Timothy, there's coming a time that the world in which we live in is going to become so vexed with fear and panic and chaos and pandemonium that you need to know that God has not given you a spirit of fear. So if God has not given the church the spirit of fear, who is trying to give it to us? Come on, church, talk to me tonight. God's not giving you the spirit of fear. It's got to come from either two sources tonight. I know we were quick to jump on the devil and say, it's the devil, it's the devil, it's the devil. Well, ultimately, yes, that's a good answer and you can't go wrong with that. We'll give you the learning curve on that one. But I propose to you tonight that the spirit of fear can come through two sources. One is obviously the enemy, Satan. But the second source is our flesh. Guys, let me explain it like this. I have a fear of heights. It's not something that I like to confess. It's not something I enjoy. But listen, you're not going to get me on top of a high-rise building and me staying over the edge so I can get some kind of crazy selfie. That ain't going to happen. Because I would not get within probably 6 to 8 feet of the edge or the ledge of that building. Why? Because I'll start getting symptoms like vertigo and dizziness. And I'll start getting weird and lightheaded. And my heart will start pounding in my chest. Why? Because I have a fear of heights. Now, that doesn't mean the devil is trying to do that to me. It's just some people have a fear of heights. Some people have a phobia of certain things. There's claustrophobia, people that are afraid of being in enclosed places. I don't understand that. I can't comprehend that because I'm not claustrophobic. I don't have a phobia or a fear of being in enclosed areas and enclosed spaces. That doesn't bring fear to me. But some people out there have that. Okay, there's some people out there that has a fear of drowning. They won't get in the water. They won't get in a pool. They won't go near an ocean. They won't go near a lake. You're not going to take them out to the lake on Labor Day. You're not going to go on a boat. You're not going to do any of that. Why? Because they've allowed, again, where is that fear coming from? Not Satan. It's coming from within. These are inner fears. And a lot of these fears, I hate to say this, I'm not trying to be I'm not trying to be a psychiatrist tonight or psychological on you. I'm just telling you the facts. A lot of these fears are molded and shaped by a lot of times by circumstances that we encounter as we're growing up. Let me explain that. So in other words, children, when they are faced with circumstances, whether it be abandonment. Let's use abandonment. Maybe they were abandoned as a child by their biological father or their biological mother, or maybe both biological parents. They were abandoned. Well, as they grow up, that wound and that scar will heal up, but the scar will remain. And many times that scar will produce itself or manifest itself as a fear of being abandoned or left alone. So they will carry that wound over into every relationship that they ever encounter, whether it be relationship with their friends, they won't be able to hold friends very long, or they'll become too clingy, become too protective, they'll become overprotective, whatever the case may be, and because they're afraid that they'll be left or they'll be abandoned, because again, it's the wound from that. Or they get into a relationship with a woman or a man or whatever the case may be, and then they begin to bleed that out on into the relationships because of the fear that was, come on, that was caused from a little child or from their childhood. So again, we're not saying that Satan is ultimately the author of fear. I'm going to say it like this because this is going to clear up a lot of this. Satan is obviously the author of fear, but he's not always the cause of fear. I hope that makes sense. okay? Because there's some things that you and I fear that are not necessarily of the devil per se. I don't, listen, I'm one of those ones, I'm probably, if you really get to know me, you'll discover that I'm probably one of the most well-balanced ministers of the gospel you'll ever meet. I am not one of those who believe that there's a demon behind every doorknob. I don't believe there's a devil behind every circumstance that happens in your life. Your tire went flat. It was probably not the devil. You probably forgot to put air in it, or you got some cheap tires, or you ran over some glass, or ran over a nail that got stuck in it. Doesn't mean it was the devil. You were late for work. It wasn't the devil's fault. It's because you stayed up way too late last night. You ate too late. Your stomach was upset. You had too many dreams. You slept in. You kept having snooze on the alarm clock. You left too late from your house to get to work, and you were speeding. You got pulled over, and that caused you to get late. So therefore, it wasn't the devil. It was probably you. In fact, I propose to you that most of our problems is us and not the devil. Oh, it ain't going to go well over here. But on the other hand, listen, I don't believe there's a devil behind every doorknob, but also on the other hand, I don't rule out spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about a balanced walk. Even the scripture says, be well balanced, be sober and vigilant. And if you study that out in the Greek, that to be sober and vigilant means to be well balanced. For your adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion going to and fro and seeking who he may devour. And it's interesting. And one of the ways to stay balanced, guys, is your head. Now, that gets me to where I wanted to go with this all along. Philippians 4, this is where I want to hang out. Philippians 4, listen to this. Paul is writing to the church of Philippi. He says, be anxious for nothing. Let me give you another translation here. Don't worry about anything. Be anxious for nothing, or don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer. Now I'm going to read this again from a different translation. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Come on, man, that's good right there. I'm going to say that again. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Well, I don't know if I believe that, Brother Ricky. Well, then you don't agree with Jesus, because in the book of Matthew, and I believe it's in Mark and Luke, he says not to worry in the context of what we shall wear, what we shall eat, what we shall drink, our lives. Did our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ now say, don't worry about these things, what you should wear, or what you're going to eat? Or he said, don't even worry about tomorrow, for today is sufficient of worries in itself. So Paul is dovetailing off of what Jesus said. He says, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Listen, how much time, I'm preaching to myself as well. How many times, how quick are we to pray about something versus mope about something, or complain about something, or talk about something? Are we talking more about the problem to other people, or are we addressing the problem to the Lord who can resolve the problem? Whew. Listen to this. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. And he says, by through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Come on. And I when I was doing my devotion on this, I thought about this. Think about this. Before we complain about anything, what if we stopped and began to thank God for what we have? God, I may not be where I want to be, but I thank you that I'm not where I used to be. God, I'm not totally healed today, but I thank you that I feel better today than I did yesterday. I may not be totally healed today, but Lord, thank you that I'm still breathing. I'm still alive. I'm still on this side of heaven. I'm still not in the ground. I still have a purpose. You still have a beating heart in me because you're not finished with me yet. Lord, I thank you for this and thank him for that and thank him for this. Guys, look around. If you've got to, take a piece of paper out and start writing down what you're thankful for. Thankful for your family. Thankful for your children. Thankful for your spouse. Thankful for your faithfulness of your marriage. Thankful for a home that you live in. Thank you for a roof over your head. Thank you. Be thankful that you're not in China right now, in the midst of a living hell with the coronavirus, not knowing if you're going to even live to see next week because you could come down with this deadly virus. Be thankful for that. Be thankful that you could have been killed many times and you could have died before your time, but God spared you. I mean, I'm telling you guys, if we really wanted to and we really asked the Lord to show us things that we could be thankful for, I'm telling you, you could fill up a whole piece of paper, the backside of that piece of paper, and probably a journal. So he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And now listen, somebody's going to say, well, I thought you were talking about our mind. What about this battlefield for our mind? Well, I'm getting there. Let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. There's the mind. Peace, understanding. And then he says, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Now watch this. This is a process, guys. So number one, what's he say? Don't worry about anything. Number two, pray about everything. With supplication and thanksgiving. That's number three. Be thankful. Begin to thank God for what you do have. Number four, let your requests be known to God. Don't just keep it to yourself. Request it. Let your requests be known to God. And listen, don't get all religious with God as if you actually think he's intimidated by your needs. Do you think he's intimidated by your fears? You could come to him and say, God, I need your help right now. I'm really anxious about this situation or this stuff that's going around and spreading. I know I'm not supposed to be fearful. I know I'm not supposed to be anxious, but I'm really struggling and I'm struggling with anxiety over this. There's a borderline fear here that's unhealthy and I'm dealing with this. I need your help. Listen, guys, there's nothing wrong with praying that. And listen what he says. When you implement these things, not worrying, but praying, letting your requests be known, being thankful, it says, then comes as a direct derivative of what we just said. Then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds. Well, Brother Ricky, that's all I've got to do. No, hold on. If the letter didn't go on right there, we could stop right there and call it a night. But Paul says in verse 8 of Philippians 4, he says, finally. Somebody say, finally. So now he's going to close with the end of what I'm telling you. Finally, my brethren, including that's women and brethren, the church, finally, now watch what he says here. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, and whatever things are of a good report. Five things here. If there be any virtue and if there be anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Praying is good. Thanksgiving is good. Supplications are good. Letting your requests be known unto God is good. These things are good. But friends, if you don't actively and willfully take control over your thoughts, over your mind, and where it goes, then friends, we will never get the victory. And I'm preaching not to you. I'm preaching to myself. I'm preaching to everyone that's under the sound of my voice, including myself. Because friends, I am not preaching to you nothing that I have not walked out myself. Even this recently, I had to walk this out. Recently, I went through and still going through a battle in which I got to a real dark moment. There was about 2 weeks that I got into a really low place. Can I have a little bit of a confession for Jesus here, if you don't mind? I like to confess my faults before one another that you could pray for me that I may be healed. And that's what the book of James says. So I'm making a confession to you. Why? Because I'm showing my transparency to you to show you that we are all human. We all deal with these things. I went into a 2 week valley where I allowed the enemy to get into my mind to convince me of things that were absolutely crazy. Lies, fear, fabrications, imaginations, all kinds of things. And it was so bad, guys, that I lost my appetite. I didn't want to eat. I'm talking about worry and fear and anxiety. And this went on for about 2 weeks. And one day I just had, and thank God, he just broke me out of it. There was days I got up, I didn't feel like praying, but I prayed. I didn't feel like reading my Bible, but I would read the word. I didn't feel like hearing any messages like I'm trying to teach, like I'm preaching to you today, but I would turn it on anyway. Because I know enough to know that our relationship with God is not based on feelings. Because if it was based on feelings, you would be saved today, but tomorrow you wouldn't be. Because from day after day after day, our emotions change, our moods change, our circumstances change, and seasons change. And if you base your salvation on how you feel and your emotions, my friends, you will be a puppet in the hands of the devil. And he will play you like a fiddle. So I don't mind telling you, I know what it's like to be on the other side of the tracks. I know what it's like to have worry grip you, and fear grip you, and anxiety grip you, and confusion grip you. And you say, well, how'd you snap out of it, Brother Ricky? I had to do this very thing that I'm telling you tonight. In fact, let me just tell you, this was the verse that pulled me out of it. This very verse right here pulled me out of it. I understood, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. That's real easy to preach, but not easy to walk out. So I understood that. I'm like, all right, God, you told me not to worry about it, and my life is in your hands. Your word says that my days are numbered. They're all in your book. So why am I worried about this thing? Why am I worried about that? Why am I worried about this over here? I just give it to you. I cast my cares upon you. So I'm doing it. And then I begin to be thankful. Lord, I thank, Lord, you brought me out the last time I went through this battle, and you'll bring me out this time. You brought me out when I could have went under, but you're going to bring me over like you did last time. When I thought it wasn't going to work out then, it's going to work out again just like it did last time. I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know when you're going to do it. And I don't know whom and how and the way it's going to come through, but we walk by faith and not by sight. So I understood all this. So peace that surpasses all understanding started to flood my spirit. But then I got down to the finally, my brethren. And I said, well, this is interesting. And it says, whatever things are true. Whatever things are true. See, there's a lot of things that are facts. But it doesn't mean, just because it's a fact, doesn't mean it's true. The doctors will give you a report based on facts. But you and I, as believers, we don't operate on facts. We operate on truth. My goodness. Hallelujah. Let me say that again. We don't operate on facts. We operate on truth. See, the doctor can say, well, the facts is this and this and that. And you have the choice to either receive the facts or stand on the truth. Well, doc, I get it. You're practicing medicine. And I understand that the blood work may say this and all the facts line up to say this. But I have a higher power that I answer to. And the truth is, by His stripes, I am healed. And by His truth, with long life, He will satisfy me and show me the joy of my salvation. The truth is, I shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord my God. He says, finally, my brethren, whatever things are true, meditate on these things. What are you meditating? Are you meditating on the facts? Well, brother, the facts are this coronavirus could affect 60% of the population. The facts are that it's getting bad out there. It's spreading. Yeah, but you know what? The truth is 1,000 may fall at thy side and 10,000 may fall at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thy dwelling. That's the truth. The truth is, now brother, you know, the economy could be affected by this. The economy could go under. Things are happening. Things are closing. Things are going. There's all the red alert. The alarms are going off because we could be heading to another recession. Yeah, that may be the facts, but the truth is the Wall Street is not my provider. The stock market is not my provider. My employment, an employer is not my provider. My employer is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. My employer is He who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The silver and gold is His, and the earth and the fullness thereof. He is El Shaddai. He's Jehovah Jireh, my provider. That's the truth. So you and I have to decide, what are we going to meditate on it? He says, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, and whatever things are lovely, whatever things are a good report. Listen, I know what it's like. Let me go back to the childhood thing. I know what it's like being raised up as a child. And listen, every time I went to a hospital, it was never good. Every time I went into a hospital, it was because someone was dying. Someone was sick. Someone needed to be a visitation because they were sick. Or someone needed a visitation because they were dying. Or I had to see my best friend at 23 years of age die of cancer. I had to go and see my mom pass away of cancer. I had to go and watch my dad pass away. I had to go and watch, and just person after person after individual. So my entire childhood and even growing up, my perception of hospitals were formed around death, gloom, doom, and despair. There was only two incidences in 43 years of my life that were ever a good report that came from a doctor's or from a hospital, and it was the birth of both of my children. So you say, what's your point? My point is, this is why I don't like hospitals. And they creep me out. It's weird. I don't like it. But this is a mindset, guys. My wife is a practitioner. She works in a hospital, and I told her all the time, I don't see how you do it. I don't see how you could deal with sick people all the time. I would lose my job because I would have such compassion on people, seeing them all the time sick or dying or whatever. I'd be laying hands on people. I'd be praying for them. I'd be professing things over them. And I would lose my job in the first week I was there. And that'd be number one reason. Number two reason is because I just couldn't handle it mentally because, again, I've already got a perception of hospitals, and I could not stand watching this and listening to or being around that atmosphere all the time. So I knew that this is not healthy. This is a mindset. Okay? So How does this affect me as I grow older? Here's how it affects me. And I know, listen, I'm just being real transparent tonight. I hope this is okay. Some people freak out when you get real and you get raw and you get transparent. They freak out about it. But I've learned, here's what I've learned. And the Lord spoke to me a long time ago, said, he said, the more transparent you are to people, the more people you will reach, because they will be comfortable around you because they see that you're not some type of superhuman with a cape sitting on a pedestal, but you're a real flesh and blood individual that goes through battles, goes through struggles, goes through valleys, goes through weak points, and goes through hard times like anybody else. Listen, the whole reason why we go through things is to get a testimony so that we can testify to somebody else who's in a valley that we can come out of a valley. Oh, come on, somebody. We can testify to somebody who's in a dark place that you, though it's dark, you will come out on the other end. Though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, just fear no evil, for the Lord God is with you. This is why you and I go through things, so that we can reach our hands into the pit and pull others out of the very pit that we were once in. Come on, somebody. So let me go back to this. It says, whatever things are of a good report. So how this shaped me as I grew up. Now, every time I go to a doctor about my own physical health, I have to. There's a battle in my mind. Because I don't even want to say it's the enemy, but my mind automatically wants to gravitate towards negativity or to a bad report. So what am I going to do? I have a choice. I'm trying to help somebody tonight. We have a choice. You say, what's this got to do with the end times? What's this got to do with the battlefield of our mind as we get closer to the end times? I'm telling you, friends, listen, if we don't get victory in our minds over these type of battles, what in the world are we going to do when we start reading about scriptures like when we read about Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21, and we start reading about, and you read about in the book of Daniel, where it says that the devil, it talks about the Antichrist, when he's empowered by Satan, he will wear out the saints. How do you think he's going to wear them out? He's wearing us out. Listen, he's wearing the saints out mentally first before he will wear you out physically. I'll almost say it again. He will wear out the church mentally first so that you will be so beaten down. Listen, did you know this? It's been proven that you will either win a fight or lose a fight based on your mindset. If you give up the will to live, guess what? You won't. But if you make up your mind, if you set your mind, if you begin to set your face like flint, and you be, listen, how, and these are people that don't even know God. There's people out there that has defeated cancer. They defeated all against all odds and circumstances, and they didn't even have a relationship with God. And you say, well, how's that possible? Because who do you think built that in you? We were not created to die, my friends. I know this is going to shock some people, but you and I were not created to die. This is why if you cut your arm, your body has been created with red blood cells, white blood cells. It's created to do things. It's created to begin to stitch itself up and heal itself and create a scar. Why? Because it's healing itself. We were never created to die, and we wouldn't have if it had not been for the fall of Adam and Eve. You were created to be victorious, created to be an overcomer, created to succeed, created to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, and to live out the fullness of your days. For I know the thoughts that I have towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope and an expected end, Jeremiah 29:11. So I'm going to ask you a question tonight. What are you thinking about? Are you dwelling and meditating on the negativity, the doubt, the unbelief, the false report, the negative report? Or are you coming into agreement with what God said? As he says, whose report shall you believe? And I'm going to tell you something. I had to make up my own mind. I know what it's like to be in the pit. I know what it's like to be in a valley. I know what it's like to be broken. I know what it's like to cry my eyes out and weep and travail and intercede before God and thinking I'm going to die and thinking it's all over and thinking I want to throw in the towel. And then the Holy Spirit, who the Bible says that he that's in me is greater than he that's in the world. I'm telling you, you'll get to a place where the Holy Spirit of God in you will begin to rise up and say, what are you doing? Get up, get up, get off the floor. Stop wailing, stop weeping, stop crying, stop having a pity party. You are a man of God. You are a woman of God. You are chosen of God. You are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. You were brought out of darkness into his marvelous light. You have a plan that God has for you. You're not finished yet. You're going to overcome. You're going to be victorious. You're going to succeed. You're going to live and not die. And you're going to declare the works of the Lord our God. God, who's faithful and just, who began a good work in you, is faithful to finish it and bring it to pass. That is what you got to believe. That's what you got to profess. That's what you got to meditate on. That's why the Bible says, and let me go back over here. I didn't have this in my notes. Let me finish with this. I got to read this to you guys. I have to read this. Verse 2, Romans 12, 2. Do not be conformed to this world. In other words, don't allow your mind to be shaped in accordance to the culture of this world. Don't let your mind be shaped in accordance to the world system and how it operates. Again, the world operates on facts, but God's kingdom operates on truths. He says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. That word transformed, it's a process. It's not a one-time event. It's not a one-day happening. It's a continual basis. You got to continually, listen to what he says. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That you can prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Let me put it like this. The more of this, and I know you guys on podcast can't see me, the more of the word you get in your mind, it drops from your mind to your heart. And when that happens, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will keep both your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Why? Because the more you fill up your mind with the word and transform yourself with the word, when you go through the valley, when you go through these circumstances, when you go through these pits, when you go through these dark times, you can stand on the word and say, I know that it looks rough. I know that it looks hopeless. I know it looks like there's no light at the end of the tunnel. I know that it looks really bad right now, but the same God that was with me in that time is surely going to be the same God that's going to bring me out this time. He brought you out that time. He's going to bring you out this time. And many are the afflictions of the righteous, but it's the Lord who delivers us out of them all. I want to give you one more last scripture, and it's found out of the book of Isaiah. The word of the Lord says, I will keep that man in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. Oh, I got to pray for some folks tonight. I'm going to pray for all of us tonight. I'm going to lay my hand on my heart tonight, and I'm going to pray a corporate prayer. And I want everyone under the sound of my voice, I don't care if you're on podcast, YouTube, Facebook, whatever, however you're listening to this, when you're listening to this, I want you to agree with me tonight. I'm going to pray this, and I believe the Lord's going to touch some people tonight. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, your word based on truth says that when your word goes forth, it will not return void. It will not come back empty handed. It will not come back prospering. It will not return void, but it will go forth and it will prosper in that which it sent forth to prosper in. It will equip. It will edify. It will encourage. It will bring forth fruit in people's lives tonight. God, I'm asking tonight that you would begin to bring perfect peace to those under the sound of my voice, to all of us here tonight. God, begin to transform our minds as we get into your word, as we hear your word. You said faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Father, I thank you that doubts are beginning to be cast down. Lord, unbelief is falling off of people right now. Lord, fears are dissipating from people's minds right now. Lord God, I thank you that anxiety, panic, depression and oppression is being broken off of people right now in the name of Jesus, God. I thank you, Lord, that those thoughts, those dark, grim thoughts of hopelessness are being replaced. You said hope deferred make it sick, but when hope comes, it is a well of life. It's a springing forth of life. Lord, I thank you that someone tonight is being turned around tonight. Lord, someone tonight was on the brink of throwing in the towel. They were ready to give up. They were ready to say it's over with. But I thank you tonight that you're breathing life into somebody tonight. You're touching their minds. You're touching their hearts. You're touching their spirits tonight. Lord, you're the God who breathes on the dry bones and dead bones of Ezekiel. And Lord, thank you, Holy Ghost. Lord, I'm reminded by the Holy Spirit that Father, you had a conversation with the prophet. And Lord, you spoke to the prophet and you told him to open his mouth. When he saw the dead bones, Lord, you spoke to him and you said, you told him to prophesy over the bones. Lord, Man, I feel the word of the Lord to somebody tonight. Woo, I received this word tonight. Listen, here's your word tonight. You've been sitting back idle. You've been set back in neutral, waiting for God to breathe life into your situation. You've been waiting for God to speak into your situation. You've been waiting for God to turn this situation around. Listen, you go to the book of Ezekiel, I believe it's chapter 37. The Lord says, what do you see, prophet? He said, can these things live? Can these bones live? And the prophet said, only you know, God. And he told the prophet to open your mouth and begin to prophesy. You do know in the New Testament, it says in the book of Mark that if you shall have faith, you can not only do what the Lord did when he spoke to a fig tree and cursed it. He said, but you can speak unto your mountain and command it to be uprooted and be removed. And if you'll believe in your heart and not doubt, then you shall have whatsoever you sayeth. That's what the word of God says. In the book of Proverbs, it says that life and death is in the power of the tongue. Friends, listen, God is on your side and the Holy Spirit is on the inside. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The Bible says we call forth those things that be not as though they were. Some of y'all, listen, y'all need to start opening your mouth right now. I don't know your circumstances. I don't know. And you say, my goodness, I'm used to a podcast of this guy telling me and informing me about the signs of the coming of the Lord and the events and disasters. And this is a little bit weird and this is a little bit awkward. I know it's because we're Holy Ghost Spirit filled here, and this is a Wednesday night. This is not a Monday or a Friday or a prophetic update. This is a Holy Ghost divine appointment for somebody tonight. You need to begin to open your mouth in your living room, in your car, in your office, in your dining room, wherever you're at. Listen, I can't speak to your mountain. You got to speak to that mountain. Speak to that depression. Speak to that financial situation. Speak to that doctor's report. Speak to that sickness, to that abnormality. Speak to whatever it is that is vexing you, whatever that is that's keeping you oppressed, whatever that is that's keeping you down and bound, and begin to speak to that mountain. You foul spirit, you foul devil, I come against, you got to speak to that disease, speak to that infirmity, speak to that financial situation, speak to that dead marriage, speak to those disobedient prodigal children, speak to whatever it is, and speak to that mountain tonight. Speak to it right now. Command it in the name of Jesus to go, be removed, come down, be broken, release, and let go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And listen, this preacher agrees with you tonight. Father, I thank you for this word tonight. God, I thank you, Lord, that I am healed. I thank you, Lord, that, Lord, this trial is ending in Jesus' name. Enough is enough. God, we've prayed for wisdom. We've prayed for knowledge. But Lord, I just thank you. Your word says, having done all, stand therefore. We're speaking, we're proclaiming, we're declaring, and we're believing. And now we're standing to receive. We receive tonight by faith in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's children said, amen and amen. I'm laughing because I know, guys, I'm telling you, there's going to be, and the timing of this is live, but when this goes out on podcast, there's going to be some people raising some eyebrows because this is a little different. But I'm telling you, man, if you receive this, I'm telling you, there's Holy Ghost power on this message tonight. This ain't nothing about me. Listen, I had no notes, none. There's no notes here. Look, blank sheet of paper. No notes. All I have is a Bible, a devotional word that God gave me 2 weeks ago. But you know what? It was a rhema word. What's a rhema word? It's a right now spirit-inspired word of God. And I knew that that word was not just for me. I knew it was for many individuals that would be watching or listening to this broadcast. So I pray that you receive this tonight and that you were blessed by this message. Listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, that's our landing page. That's our main website. If you'll go there, if you'll visit that, you guys on Facebook Live, there's a link right there. If you'll go to the main website, you're going to see a place where you can subscribe and you can get a daily digest every single day into your inbox. And with that digest, you'll get all of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. You can also subscribe to push notifications. You guys on Android, if you have an Android mobile phone, a tablet, an Android device, our official ETH app is now on the Android store. It's absolutely free. Download it. You'll get push notifications. All of our podcasts are there. Our YouTube is there. All of our news and headlines there. Everything's there right at your fingertips. And again, I've said this, our Apple and iOS version of this app is still on its way. We're still working out bugs with this, but we want to get it right. We want to get it right. We don't want to just release it and it's all messed up. We don't want to do that. We want to make sure everything is right, everything's operating correctly, but it will be released. Just be patient. In time, it will come. Listen, as always, we want to emphasize to you guys, our ministry operates out of supporters and partners just like you. Listen, all of our messages are free. Our podcasts are free. Our apps are free. Our digests are free. Our email subscriptions are free. Everything is free. Everything. There's no merchandise, no books, no CDs, no DVDs, none of that. So what we ask that you would do is if this ministry blesses you, it informs you, it encourages you, it equips you, it edifies you, and you would like to help support us, either a one-time gift, a monthly partner. You can become a monthly partner. It's real easy to do, especially you guys on your Android. If you have our app, there's a little place at the bottom and it says give. All you got to do is push that button. It's going to take you right to that page. You guys on Facebook Live, just click on the link. Again, go to our main website and you're going to see places there that you can give and support our ministry. You guys listening by YouTube and podcast, at the end of this broadcast, there's going to be more information on how you can give by check or money order, or by giving electronically as well. So again, we love you guys. God bless you. We are going to sign off for today. We may be back on tomorrow or we'll be back on Friday or both. It always really determines on what's going on in the news, as far as the headlines and stuff go. We got a lot of stuff going, and we almost thought about doing that tonight, but I knew that this was a word that we needed to get out tonight. So if we're not back on here tomorrow, then we'll be back on Friday. And if we are back on here tomorrow, then we still may come back on Friday. Again, like I said, it all determines on what's going on. So again, God bless you guys.
We hope that today's word was a source of blessing and encouragement to you and your family. End Time Headlines is a ministry that provides weekly teachings to equip believers and inform the discerning of the signs and seasons in which we are in. If you would like to help support this ministry with a gift of any amount, you can do so electronically by visiting our website at endtimeheadlines.org, where you can sow a one-time gift or set up monthly partnership. If you would like to give by check or money order, you can do so by writing to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana 47131. Thank you for your generous support and partnership to End Time Headlines.